Before I get into the message, can we just do something quickly? Can we just close our eyes? I want us to reconnect with what God was doing in worship, because we're so easily not thrown, but we just sort of move things on. We compartmentalize, that was worship, now this is a message. But God he just encouraged me just to tell him, just stay connected to what God is doing during worship. I also want you to just picture a time in your life when God was moving in your life and you just knew without a shadow of a doubt that all things were possible. Can you do that? Just think of that. See, that's who you are. That's who God has called you to be, where we know that within our whole being that all things are possible with him. Thank you, Jesus. God, we want to stay connected with what you're doing at all times and all seasons. We want to be connected with what you spoke to us during worship, God. For there are many things that were said, God, even our hearts privately, corporately, God. We don't want to move ahead of what you're doing and saying, but we want to remember the words you said to us, God. We hold on to every word that you've said to us because it is precious. So, God, I thank you, Lord, that we want to remain connected from day to day, to moment to moment, to what you are doing in this place, in our hearts, in our lives, God. We just say, God, let your will be done. Thank you, Jesus. The title of my message is, Who Are You? Now, I just want to talk just briefly this morning about identity, and specifically the word blessing and heavenly places. And what I'm preaching out of this morning is out of Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. I'm reading out of the New America. Who you are and your identity is always something that's important. It never goes away. We always need to know who we are in Christ, what he says to us, and what we are to do with that. So Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 says this, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Remember that, in heavenly places. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. So like I said, I just want to spend a few moments this morning talking about identity. This passage of scripture out of Ephesians is a snapshot of who we are. See, not who we may think we are, not who we might feel we are on a day, but who we truly are. See, the purpose when Paul wrote Ephesians is that he was to lay out a foundation of what a believer meant. These were a lot of new converts and a lot of Jewish people who had come into the faith. So right out of the gate, Paul tells them who they are. And for chapters 1 to 3, he spends laying a foundation of who they are. He really lays out the gospel to them. And then he spends the half portion of Ephesians 3 through 6 telling them what that looks like in practical application. So God wants to tell us who we are, but he also wants to demonstrate in our lives what that looks like. So today, I cannot do that in the amount of time I have, but I'm going to just start at the place because I feel that God wants to remind us of who we are. Because who we are, when we align with what is true, there is power, there is authority that we walk in. See, in this little bit of scripture, just these few sentences, it really says who we are to God, who he is to us, his will towards us, and what we have done to earn that. Dan and Alicia, who are on staff, they're back in the sound booth. We talk about Dan and Alicia back there, they're on our staff. So if you need anything, they can actually help you out just as well. They're not just people who run around in the background and you're like, who are those people? They work for us. I know we mention them a lot, but I just want to give a props to them. They're on staff here. So they started the Bible study with Pastor Lena's guidance. And where they began this Bible study was really hitting the topic of identity. Identity is foundational to our Christian life. Knowing who you are is extremely important because if you don't know who you are according to his word, it's very hard to understand or walk in the authority and the power and the freedom that he's called you to. I saw this phrase and it's just so true. What you do flows from who you are. What you do flows from who you are. See, but identity isn't just for new believers, it's for all believers. See, Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 11, he says, remember. Why does he say remember? He says, remember who you were so that you can remember who you are now. See, I remember who I was, not because I want to stay in the place of sin consciousness. No, I want to stay in the place of knowing what I came delivered from. See, that's my identity. We don't remind ourselves of what God has done so that we can, poor me, I was in a pitiful shape. No, we remind ourselves who we are so that we know where we stand now, made fresh, made new. See, we need to be reminded of who we are. That's what my purpose today is, to remind you who you are, not who the devil tells you are. Because the devil told me for years I was full of shame. I was unworthy, unlovable, couldn't be forgiven. I was scum of the earth. I was not worth anything. I know what it's like to have the enemy tell you who you are. But I know who I am in Christ. And that changes everything. But so quickly, things happen in our life and we forget what God has said to us. And we start to think about who we are or who we used to be. And God is saying, remember who you are. What you do flows from who you are. I want to remind you that who you are, so that when a challenge comes, you may remain strong. Do you want to remain strong? Then remember who you are. Remember who you are. Identity is so important. See, agreeing with a false identity means I will act, I will put on a dress in a manner that is actually opposite or counterfeit of who I truly am. Do you get what I'm putting down? What I identify with, I will reflect. Fear, worry, anxiousness, sadness, loneliness, feeling unlovable, unworthy. If I identify with those things, I begin to reflect those things in my life. See, I reflect what I identify with. Anytime we begin to agree with a lie, little by little by little by little, I start to identify more and more and more, and soon I'm wearing another garment I shouldn't have put on. I start to live a counterfeit life. See, the enemy, through culture, is robbing people of their identity. And when you rob people of their identity, they can only live a life that's counterfeit. The world ties their identity to their careers, to the relationships, families, hobbies, passions, or dreams. The church knits their identity in what they can do for God. Your identity is not in what you do. It's not in your gifting. It's not in your ministry. It's not in your calling. It's not in your anointing. Our identity is in Jesus alone. Because if your identity is wrapped up in what you do, your job, your relationships, your ministry, your gifting, your anointing, when you don't feel those things, you no longer know who you are and you walk in confusion. So we must separate ourselves by what we do from who we are. And who we are is only found in Him. Anything outside of that, if it's found in us, is useless and wasteless. But we must identify with the One who came and gave His life for us, that we can live an overcoming, abundant life. Eternity is in you now. We're not waiting for another day for the eternity to be in us. I'm not waiting to be in heaven. I can live in heaven right now because heaven invades earth. That is our identity. That is our starting point. It's that heaven has come to earth and it dwells on the inside of us. The Spirit of God, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells within you. And that is who you are. Waymaker says, that is who you are, God. And He is saying, that is who you are. You are formed. I have shaped you. I have called you my beloved. Stand in agreement with Him on that. There is one place we must get back to. That is identifying with the Son and all that He did for us, laying down His life. As we lay down His life, we stand firm in Him, not on what I've done, not on my gifting, not on my anointing, not on my prophesying, not on my shouting, not on my screaming. I stand alone in Christ Jesus. The promises of everything He paid for us, that is who we are. That is who we are. Those things will fail me if my identity is wrapped up in gifting your anointing. They will fail me if my identity is wrapped up in a job if I lose it. Who am I? You got to know who you are. And when you know who you are, all things are possible with God. The enemy is robbing this generation of who they are. He wants to tell them what they're not. He wants to pervert their minds so that they will live a counterfeit life, because the devil hates the reflection of God in you. And if he can pervert an entire generation to not reflect the glory of Jesus, then he will tell you whatever you will believe, because we are to reflect. We are identified. We are to mirror back the Son that gave his life for us. That's who we are. That's who we ought to reflect. It's the Son of God living on the inside of us. And the devil hates the reflection of Jesus. And so he will do whatever he can to let you not live in what God has called you to live. Oh, it's an identity crisis is what we're suffering. The church is suffering an identity crisis, because the church has for far too long, we've identified with how the world operates, how the world reacts, how the world responds. We've aligned our views, we've aligned our sermons to the culture out there. And I believe that God is using what is being perverted out in the world to call attention to the church to say, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Who are you this morning? Far too long, mixture, complacency, and compromise has been in his people. And I believe the Lord is drawing a line in the sand, saying, who do you say I am? He wants us to be separated, called out from the world, no longer knitting our identity, our purpose with the world, but being called apart, separated to the high calling. It's a high calling. It's not a low calling. You can do a lot of things. You can live low, but my God says, I've called you to the high calling. There's a high purpose he has for us, and that is to see this world transform to the glory and the image of Almighty God. We're having an identity crisis, but God will use it for his good and for your good, because it calls attention. The world is losing their mind, and the church is allowing it, because we're not saying anything. Far too long, we've kept our mouths silent, in silent agreement. But what we have to do now is say, God, I know what you've said. I know what I may have suffered with, or they may have suffered with, but I know your truth stands firm, God. And I know who you are, and I know who I am. But God will use this for his good, for his glory, and for your good. He's challenging his church, come awake. Come awake. I'm telling you, the church needs to separate itself from the world. The world has mingled into the buildings, and our sermons we've waxed eloquently about the principles of God, but denying the power thereof. And the power of God is available to us. That is who we are. John 15:19 says this: if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, because this world hates you. We are called out. Called out. We're called out. We're called out of the world. We must not align our thoughts, our habits, our behaviors, our responses to that which the world is full of lies, deceitfulness, darkness, wickedness, and the church must separate itself out from the church. Come out from within them, says the word of the Lord. And I know you think, but I'm saved. You're still walking in darkness in some places. We're still walking in darkness. We deny God's power in our lives. He wants us to walk in the fullness and completeness that he has called us. But we live in the darkness because we aren't pulling ourselves fully out of the world. Our thoughts, our responses, our behaviors, our habits are much like the world. It's just true. When you hear bad news, our response is, what is it? Oh gosh, I guess the Lord's not going to do this for me. I lost my, I guess God doesn't want me to make money. See, our minds go to how the world is and to how the world responds, but we must unattach ourselves from the world and come out from among them. Come out. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I mean, I just got to follow him. My notes may say one thing, but I don't even know what that is. I just know it ain't that. So I'm just willing to step out. Jesus. See, for far too long, we have pulled things from this realm, and God says, I've got a higher place that you can pull from. See, when Scripture says from heavenly places, see, there's another realm I can pull from. See, I don't pull from this realm. I pull from another realm. See, when I walk with him, I can pull from another realm. See, when I hear that this problem is happening or that problem is happening, I pull from another realm. I'm not dependent on what this world offers. I'm dependent on what heaven has. See, heaven's influence and heaven's impact is what is reserved for us. The resources that are made available to me are far greater and far superior than anything found on this earth. What is your source you're drawing from today? Are you drawing from the heavenly places? Or are you drawing from the world? Or are you drawing from yourself? See, we think heavenly places up there, out of reach, not accessible. But heaven is in you. You are the sanctuary of the living God. He has filled us to overflowing. See, that is heaven. We don't go inwards to ourselves. We turn inwards to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has come and he dwells within us. We're the living sanctuary. We're the earth that he is forming. He's moving in his sanctuary and he fills us. That is who we are. In heavenly places, we're not dependent upon the natural resources or circumstances to be blessed. I'm not waiting on a paycheck. I'm not waiting on someone to see me. I'm not waiting on anything other than I look towards heaven and I say, God, what are you saying about this circumstance? God, I know what the doctor says, but I know what your word says. God, I know that I lost my job, but you said you would bless this house, God. If I tithe, Lord, you said you would give it to me overflowing. So God, I don't know what's going on in the natural, but I know that my life isn't lived in the natural realm, and I can pull from the heavenly places, and heaven can impact me. Heaven's influence is on me, and that is for you. Heaven's influence, heaven's impact. I know we say it, but do we live it? There was a time, you all know it well, I talked about when I suffered from anxiety and panic attacks. It just happened in a moment. Fear gripped my heart. And I begin to not be able to breathe and not be able to, I couldn't think straight. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to rush. I saw myself going to the emergency room, dying, not coming out alive. But then something on the inside of me said, that is not who you are. That is not what I've called you to do. Because I had a decision that moment to say, I'm going to live my life in panic and anxiety and in anxiousness. I would sit on the front row and I would be trembling on the inside. But I would say, no, this is not my life. This is not what you've called me to do. So I began to battle, not with my own strength, but I began to pull on heaven's resources. I said, not my will be done, but yours, God. I pull on the strength of heaven because in my own strength, I can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. So rather than just giving in, I would say, I can't do this on my own, God. I'm afraid, God, but I know what you said. I know what your word says, and I would fight, and I would fight, and I would fight. Not always winning, but one inch, I gained more faith. More inch, I gained more faith. One more inch, I gained more faith. One day it was less. One day it was less. One day it was more. But I kept walking. I kept agreeing with him. I kept pulling on heaven, saying, God, I don't know how long this is going to happen, but I will fight until I'm free. And I know that it's not an easy thing to do. But when you agree with heaven, all things are possible with him. So for a year, I battled it, maybe longer. But let me tell you this. 3 years, I've not had one panic attack, one anxiety attack. I live free because I made a choice. I will not live like that.
What am I saying? If you do, you're living like that? No, what I'm saying is there's another way. There's an alternative way. See, we just accept what doctors may say or a medical condition. We accept feeling unloving. We accept that there's no mercy or no forgiveness. We accept that we're not worthy. But God says there is another way, and I have paid the price for you, and I gave my son that you could live an overcoming abundant life, a life filled with faith and not with fear. He has called you to walk in abundance. He's called you to walk in faith and not fear. That is who you are. You are called to possess the promises that he has for you and I. That is your true identity. That is who you are. My source of strength doesn't come from anything generated on this earth. It's nothing that we can do. We aren't looking or dependent upon natural circumstances to align, to meet our needs. But when we shift our gaze to heaven, everything is possible. When we shift our minds to what God has said, it changes everything. No longer am I limited to what's available on this earth. All things are possible when I turn my gaze to heaven and I say, I need you, Lord. Our source of strength is from another realm. That's how in the middle of a crisis, you're calm and have peace on the inside. That's how you can be faced with a circumstance that causes you to be afraid, but still have courage. I was afraid a few times, thinking that's how I was going to live the rest of my life. But I still had courage. I'm not pulling from this realm. I'm pulling on heaven. And when you pull on heaven, heaven meets you where you're at. There can be great upheaval around us, chaos, wars, hatred, anger, racism, division, persecution, but we can still walk in hope. We can walk through a difficult season and not come out on the other side bitter or resentful, but still trusting that God is with us. Even when we don't understand what's going on, we walk out not being bitter, but being thankful to a God who is merciful and who is loving. We rely, what I say is eternal, but we should not rely on what the Bible says is temporal, and that's of this world. The reason we struggle to live overcoming lives is due to the fact that even after we confess Jesus as Lord, we still identify and continue to follow the ways and patterns of the world. We live, think, behave, and respond just like the world. And a lot of the New Testament actually delves into this and says, do not be from the world, but we must come out from the heavy burden of the world and embrace the new life that God is adopting us into. The scripture says we are adopted as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. We are sons and daughters. See, an adoption is the process of coming out from being orphaned and being adopted into a new family. See, we're not adopted so that we can continue to live as orphans, but we're called into a new life. See, the Father, by way of His Son, takes your orphan heart and He places it into a new system, a new position, a new identity. See, your new place is son and daughter with Him. And with your new place, your new position, comes new authority and new rights as children. And though He adopts us, we must adapt to our new life in Him. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. I think it's a play, it's an old story. It's called The Orphan Annie. It's called Annie, it's about Orphan Annie. Maybe some of y'all are too young. Annie was an orphan living in an orphanage, and the long story short, she goes to live with a billionaire, Daddy Warbucks. And what's interesting to me is that when Annie, being adopted, comes into the first time to live with a family, she begins to grab the mop, the dishes, the rags. She begins to clean because what? She didn't know that she'd been adopted into a new position, into a new place. We live our lives cleaning the floors when God has called us to a higher place. See, we're no longer orphans. He says, no, you're no longer supposed to do that. I've called you to a higher place. See, leave behind what should be left behind. We must change how we see ourselves in Him. Our identity is in Him alone. How do we do that? We must let go of old mindsets and the world's ways of thinking and responding. We no longer can align our thoughts and identify with the world's thoughts, responses, actions, attitudes. But we must identify with the nature and character and the principles of God that bring us life. Ephesians 5:8 says this, "Therefore, do not become partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light." That partners with them means to become like them after being around them. My question is, when you're out in the world living your life, who are you becoming when you're around them? Are you identifying with what they say? Are you aligning with them? Are you gossiping? Are you backbiting? Are you having hatred towards anyone? Is there jealousy? Is there envy? How are you responding when you're in the world? See, Scripture says, don't be like them, for you are light. Now walk as children of light. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." I just want to end. Stand with me. I'm going to end in just a moment. At the end of Ephesians 1, verse 5, it says, "He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will." The Lord intends to be kind to you. It's the intention of His heart to be kind to you. I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what stripped you of your identity, but the Lord is intending to be kind towards you. I lived a life that I didn't know. I knew God loved other people, but I didn't know He could love me. So there's a lot of things we struggle with, and at the root of it, we think, is God really kind? Is He really good? And the Scripture declares it is His intention, the will of the Father. He has decided, I'm going to be kind to you. Those words need to wash over us. Scripture says it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. See, He is kind towards us. I don't know what thoughts you wrestle with. I don't know where the enemy has tripped you up and he's got you playing pretend or you're dressed up as someone who you're not. See, I used to wear fear. I used to wear intimidation. I used to wear shame. I used to wear guilt. Those are the things that I had put on because that's what I identified with. But only after years of being in here and like allowing God to reshape my mind, to transform my thoughts, it's a process. I wish it could happen instantaneously. And yes, God does deliver us instantaneously, but so many things in our life, it's because we've made the decision. And so we have to make the decision to unmake that decision, to walk out in freedom. And sometimes that's a process. And so God is kind to us. And I'm just saying today, throw off every garment that's not yours. Throw off shame. Throw off humiliation. Throw off unforgiveness. Throw off that I'm not worthy. I don't know what it is. We all battle our own fights. We wage our own fights. But guess what? Scripture says we're not warring against flesh and blood, but against every principality in the air. But we have the ability to bring down strongholds in our life. That's who we are. See, we're not held at ransom to the enemy's will, because the Lord has given us the authority and the power to break down strongholds over our lives. See, that is who He's called us to be. He's called us to be blessed from the heavenly places. So I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you feel like you can't overcome. I don't know what the enemy is torturing you with, but hear these words, that you have the access to heaven. It's another realm, and we have access to pull that down and see God work miraculously in our life. Can we just pray together? Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are reshaping the image in our lives of who You are and who we are. Father, whatever we were identifying with in the past, we put it to death. God, we thank you that we nail our old lives to the cross and that you truly bring us back to life, God. I thank you, Lord, that we want to walk in the identity that you've called us to. So, God, we now unidentify with the things that trap us, from the things that trip us up. We unidentify with feeling not worthy. We unidentify with being not able to overcome. We unidentify with feeling useless. We unidentify with not being secure enough. We just unidentify with the things that the enemy would lie to us about. You just need to go ahead and just unidentify in your heart right now. Can we just do that? Just unidentify with things that need to be nailed to the cross, because that is not you. See, the enemy for so much of my Christian life wanted to remind me of who I was as if I was still that person. And guess what? When you think you're still that person, you behave like that person. You think like that person. You respond like that person. And when I truly grabbed a hold of the word that I was made new in him and that he was shaping new thoughts and new patterns and he was transforming my heart, old things began to just die off. I don't even recognize the old me. I don't even know who that is. It seems like another person. It's foreign to me. And that is the place that God is calling us to be. You are chosen with every, and you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So whatever you're facing, you don't have to rely on what's available on this earth because it's limited. But we pull from another realm, and with him, all things are possible. Amen. I know I've kept y'all a little bit later. I just bless y'all. And again, wanted to say happy Mother's Day. And we will see you guys next weekend. And before you go, don't rush out of here. Move on with your life and forget what God is saying in this moment, what he did in worship. Remember the time and just hold that image in your head of when you knew all things were possible, because that is truly the place we are called to live in. It's not to be a fleeting moment. We are to live in with expectancy, knowing that all things are possible with him. Amen.